Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Happy New Year, everybody.
We're back.
We're back. Holy crap.
Yeah, we're back. Folks, thank you for your patience. Thank you for letting us take our PTOs and enjoy our holiday. But we're back and we're here to talk about the four-part tell-all.
Tell-all.
Are y'all ready? Lon, are you ready?
I'm ready, man.
All
Let's
right.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Where do we want to start? Do we want to start with, how do we want to do this? Do you want to start with a couple? Like, do we go couple by couple, or do you want to just talk about part one? This is what happened. Part two, this is what happened.
We can go couple by couple because, like, all my notes are all, they cover all four parts, and I didn't order them like, oh, this is part one or this is part two.
Same.
It's just, here's what happened with this couple. Here's what happened with this couple. One of my couples is even Jovi and Andre because they had their own fucking separate thing, right? Did you notice that
Yeah.
One of my couples is Jovi and Andre. I'm like, damn, dude. And Andre was really going for Jovi. Like,
dude, he was savage from the get-go. He was saying something about Jovi not being attractive. And Yara was out of his league or something. Like, bro, who asked?
I don't know what was up. It almost felt like Andre was trying to get heat off himself by focusing on Jovi's shortcomings and trying to divert whatever negative attention he might have gotten onto Jovi. And because Andre can be pretty shitty. So it was like almost like he was saying, but look, here's somebody shittier. Even though what Jovi was doing, to me at least, wasn't really all that bad, but the way Andre was framing it, like, well, who does that? Who goes to the strip club when you're married? Like, he was making it sound like fucking Jovi is a fucking loser. And I'm just like, Andre, you're not a winner yourself. But
exactly.
Like, whatever he could do to just divert any negative attention from himself, I was like, damn, dude.
The internet thought that Andre's making moves on Yara.
I can see that.
I don't see that at first because let's start with like part one, right? Because I kind of rewatched it literally hours ago just to like make sure I get caught up.
Right.
Andre actually insinuated something about Yara being a scammer. He actually threw down a stat, y'all. He said, you know, one in three couples come to the US and they turn out to be scammers. And then Yara had to clap back and say, don't stereotype me.
Right.
You know, you're from Moldova. I'm from Ukraine. Like, we're neighbors.
He was speaking about like Russian, quote unquote, immigration, right?
Like, yeah. Like those mellowed or bright. Like, he's
and trying to fit her into that category.
But that's why when I read the forums, I'm surprised that people think that Andre was trying to make moves on Yara. And then someone even mentioned, like, I wonder why Yara and Jovi are now planning to move to Florida. Is it to be close to Andre and Libby?
I didn't even put that together. I didn't even put that together.
I didn't think about it until like someone said it on, I guess, Reddit or something that I was reading. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Why are they?
Y'all are wild for that. I didn't even. What?
And the internet doesn't stop. So let's go couple by couple. Let's start with, I don't think there's much to say about Sumit and Jenny, aside from the fact that I still don't understand. Maybe I missed this, you guys, so I apologize. But why is Jenny in the US and Sumit back in India? Like, why can't he come on a visitor or tourist visa and be with her in the studio? Why is it that it's only her?
Yeah, I noticed it, but I didn't even ask that question. I missed that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I figured like, why can't they both join via video, right? Maybe TLC pleaded with them as a couple saying that, hey, one of you has to be in the studio and the other one join via video. And I don't know, because I feel like this is strange how Jenny chooses to not be with Sumit for the tell-all, I thought they usually come as a package.
Yeah.
But anyway, like you said, Lon, before we record, it's a lot of rehashing. And I think for them, the rehashing of, you know, her relationship with his family.
Right.
And I don't think there was any huge takeaway except for the fact that the mom is still not accepting. But yep. It seems like she and her brother-in-law and sister-in-law are getting along fine. And even to a certain extent, the dad as well seems to be accepting of her. It's just the mom is that same hurdle that she has to overcome. So anything else that we missed that you might want to point out?
I forget who, but somebody called out Sumit by saying that he's kind of playing both sides, which is what I think we kind of mentioned this in our previous recordings. He says things to make them feel better. He tries to appease his parents, but then he tries to appease Jenny.
Yeah.
And because of that, he's never quite fully on board with either side. And yeah, just when someone called him out on that, I was like, yep, like we've been saying that. He's just kind of trying to make both sides feel better about what's going on. And I don't know if he stays like that, I don't think he's ever going to be happy.
Yep. And I'm guessing this pertains to the topic of starting a family, where he confidently told his family that, yes, we'll have a kid. And then Jenny, when she heard that, she was like, I'm blindsided by this.
Yeah.
I didn't know you wanted to have kids. I can't have kids. I already have a kid.
Right.
So what are we doing about this?
Right. Did you say something about adopting something?
Yeah, he kind of like cop out and said, well, we can look into adopting.
It doesn't have to be like a kid of our own or whatever.
But Jenny pushed back hard and said, look, I'm not at that age where I want to be taken care of.
Yeah.
A kid of my own or adopted.
Right.
So I don't know where they left that off.
Jenny and Sumit, I don't think either of them contributed a lot. It wasn't until the final tell-all episode when Jenny got pissed off and started shouting.
Yeah. Yeah.
That maybe she spoke the most, but they were both pretty quiet the entire time at least from my perception of things.
Yeah, Sumit didn't really instigate, or he didn't really, you know, rub salt on someone's wound. Yeah.
I forgot he was on the show.
Yeah.
Like there was a moment where they flashed to him from like, you know, the satellite or whatever. And I was just so surprised to see him. I was like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, wait, no, he's on this. He's on the season. Oh, shit.
We almost forgot that he's on.
And he didn't even say anything. When they flashed to him, all he did was smile at the camera. And then that was it. Like, oh, it's a reminder that he's here.
Yeah.
He's kind of eavesdropping. But no, I didn't think either of them really contributed.
Yeah, you're right. And I hope, I don't know about y'all, but I hope that this is the last we hear from Jenny and Sumit, because I'm over their storyline. I don't know how long they're going to continue with the whole family feud between, you know, the mom and them. And I'm guessing they will attempt to be relevant by trying to get Sumit to come to the U.S., but it's apparent that Sumit's not interested, right?
Yeah, right.
So another nondescript couple to me is Shaida and Bilal, though it sickens me how Big Ed says, like, oh, I look up to him, to Bilal, and like
he was
they were both sucking up to each other, like stroking each other's ego throughout the entire tell-all, and I was like super disgusted.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Shaida spoke a lot in this tell-all. Like, she was being very firm about a lot of topics, and she didn't hold back. She spoke her mind, which is great. Bilal was always trying to play cool and trying to be pragmatic about a lot of topics. And then I guess, you know, it all culminates to this very cute moment where Bilal got down on one knee and, I don't know if you can call it a proposal, but yeah, it is a proposal to have.
Will you go 50-50 with me on a baby? I'm like, what? What is that?
Right. And also, I think from the first episode too, we found out that they're finally having sex without protection. Good for them. Because that's how you get a baby.
They're trying. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And I was just going to say, all she had to do was what? Reverse psychologize? Like, oh, I don't want a baby anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
And then now I want to focus on my business. Hey, yeah. How about that joint account? And he's like, oh, okay, maybe we should have a baby.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Like, and I think it's okay. And I tweeted this. It's okay to change your mind. You know, yeah, it's okay absolutely. To change your mind. And yeah, sure. You know, there's, again, the factors of her age and things like that. But it's okay to change your mind, especially when you don't have the whole picture. You think you do, but things change. And with Shaida, things just started to change. Like she started following through, or her and Bilal started following through on the business side of things with the yoga studio and stuff. And sure enough, her life started to change. And when the business started to open up and they started working on that, now she's thinking, oh, well, my energy is going into the yoga studio or whatever. And do I want to have a baby right now? Like, fucking that happens. That, like, yeah. Life happens like that.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, you know, it's okay when the window of opportunity is there, but then all of a sudden it's not. And then you change your mind. That's totally fine. And I think that's just what happened with Shaida. She started focusing on her business more and the whole picture started to come in,
mm-hmm.
you know, and she's like, now she wants to do this. But then Bilal being Bilal is like, oh, we're going to have a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, by the end of it, it seemed like they both were on the same page about it. But to me, I was like, oh, wait, but she just told you that, like, her life is changing and her priorities are changing. And now you're going to be like, well, will you go 50-50 with me on having this kid? Like,
it's funny how just as she's about to pivot and be successful at a career, he tries to take control back.
It felt like, yes. Yeah.
Sort of like subjugating her to this housewife role of, hey, let's have a baby. It just seems like, I wonder if this is a fake thing or if this is the real him, you know? Like,
right.
Is he just toying with her all this time and he just wants to see where this goes? And then now that she's about to get successful and, you know, her career is about to jump off and blow up, he's like, let me reel you back in.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Yes. That's what it felt like to me. But he asked. And that was, I think that was the saving grace, was that he asked. He put her on the spot, y'all. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest about that. He did put her on the spot, but he asked. That was a saving grace because she could have said no. And she said yes. But exactly your point, 100%, that it almost felt like that. Like she just told you on the cameras that, like, things are changing for her. And but it felt almost like he wants to control the situation, you know. But again, he asked and he gave her an opportunity to say yes or no. So I'm like, all right, well, he gets a pass for that one. And she said yes. So I'm happy. I'm happy for them. And she even says it in the final moments of the last episode. And I hope, if she means this, even better. And she said, I finally feel like I'm getting the husband that I came to America for, or something like that. Mm. And I was like, okay, cool. Good.
Yeah, good. I guess the reverse psychology helped.
Yeah.
She played him into her own hands.
Yeah.
What do you think about the drama between her best friend and his best friend? Utris and I forgot the guy's name. I apologize. But it just feels like, I don't know. That was the spicy part of their segment, I feel, is when the two friends argued and tried to defend their friend. And at some point, I felt uncomfortable too because the Bilal's friend got really aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think I would admit that Utris kind of lost a point a little bit, but it just becomes like a he say, she say, like I need to have a last word type of situation. I wonder if you have any thoughts on that.
I think, and you've been saying this about Utris since Utris, you know, brought it up. He made a good point about her. Like, I think that was his strongest.
Oh, is the advice? I think people they
the
were arguing
baby.
About. No, I think, and a lot of people called the other cast member called this out too. It's like, Utris, how can you give that kind of advice to your friend? Like, you know, not, oh, what if you forgot to wear yours.
Right. And that was the biggest, I think for him, that was the biggest argument. And I think too, that she doubled down on that. And that's, yeah, like for me, that's no, you don't deceive someone into having a baby. That's very irresponsible. And if you're going to have children, I think both parties should want to enter into it willingly, and to be sprung on it like you're trapping someone into it is like, it's a big no-no. And I think, you know, and you've been mentioning this for a few episodes already, and I think that was definitely a point where she lost on that. But there were times too where Bilal's friend was coming off just a little bit too much like manosphere-ish, very male, toxic,
very
you know what I mean?
Mansplaining-ish.
Yeah.
And that's where I got uncomfortable.
Andrew Tate-ish almost sometimes, right? Like it was way male domination style.
Yeah.
Like arguments, or maybe it had a tone to it. I don't have exact notes about the things he was saying. I just raised an eyebrow and went, Yeah. So it almost felt like that, where he's like, I'm men and men says this, and Utris is trying to fight for like the women's perspective on it, you know, and I get it. Utris is sticking up for Shaida and he's sticking up for Bilal, but it felt like opposing views. Here's the man view. Well, here's a women's view. And he's just being, I'm the guy. And
very
guys
machismo.
Are like this. Yeah.
Yeah, that got a bit uncomfortable for me because it went from like 0 to 10 almost. Because he came across at first being very civil, being very chill, like, you know, almost like Bilal, like very, you know, has that very calm demeanor. And then suddenly, like, I guess when he went to bed for his friend, I guess that's when that whole male, masculine, you know, whatever,
that
right?
Energy.
Like, that energy just came out. And then it just was like, anyway. Would you like to see them again, Lon?
You know, as much as I didn't really care too much for him, I am curious still. I want to see what Shaida does. I want to see how their relationship could change. And this is going to sound completely wrong, but she did express interest in getting like a boob job. You know, I'm not interested in the boobs. I want to see like how, if anything changes. I'm just down to see where the rest of the story goes. But like, there's definitely still some interest I have. Will I just roll my eyeballs and complain about them, you know, on the podcast? Maybe. But I still think there's some interest there, right?
Yeah.
more of their story to flesh out.
I was actually surprised that she expressed interest in getting a breast augmentation, if I'm not wrong.
Breast augmentation, yeah. And Bilal seemed, well, I couldn't tell if he was reluctant about her or he was giving her a look and she was like, what are you looking at, right? Like,
yeah, I figured she should wait till maybe after hopefully she does get pregnant, and then maybe after she starts breastfeeding, because I think that was one of the main motivation that Yara had, is that after she gave birth and then she wasn't too happy with her body, and then she felt like, okay, I need to do something about it. And then turns out she went to the same plastic surgeon as the one that fixed Angela up. Ugh, not that Angela could be fixed. But yes, let's move on to Jovi and Yara.
Jovi and Yara. Wow.
Oh, man.
Oof. Tumultuous. They're all over the place. I feel bad for Jovi. Again, we've said it many times. He comes off as controlling sometimes. But in this tell-all, I felt where he was coming from, in that a lot of his motivation is just trying to please Yara, to make Yara happy, even if it comes at the expense of like hurting his mom or hurting his family. And like he kept saying, well, you know, I don't want to come home to my wife and make my wife unhappy. And it doesn't seem like he wants to leave Louisiana, and he understands where his mom's coming from, but he's getting pressure from his wife. Like, his wife is unhappy, doesn't want to live there anymore. So he's just like, well, fine, we'll go somewhere else. We'll go where you want to go. And I understand the argument, you know, where I see both sides, right? If we're going to get a house, I want it to be under my name too. And she's like, well, what about what's for me? And I understand that. So they're just all over the place. I hope they can work it out. I know Jovi does have growing up to do, but let me go ahead and take it to what I thought was the main point was he was defending his trip. I forget, where did he go? Was it Europe? No.
South Africa, sorry.
Yeah. On safari, right.
Yeah.
And you know what? Yeah, he could have rescheduled that trip, but to his point, this is something they did plan together.
Mm.
They did plan this together. Everyone was jumping on Jovi like, you're irresponsible. You shouldn't have done that. And he kept trying to tell them, like, we planned this together. I got the okay from her before the whole breast augmentation thing was even a thing. I got the okay from her to do this. So I could see him like scheduling his life around that decision. And then for her to flip-flop on it later on. And I think it was like 2 weeks before the trip was going to happen.
Yeah.
I get that. I get where you're like, well, we'd already said that this was going to happen. Like, you expect me to back out now? And y'all, before you roast me on this, like, I can see both sides. I get it. It would be responsible for him to stay. But also, they said this was okay. And he made the plans. And I think he was going to join with his friends too, like, to completely back out 2 weeks before the trip. Do you know? And who said that it was just cosmetic again? That was a really great point. Was it Liz? It was a cosmetic surgery, not necessarily like a life.
Yeah.
Endangering one or whatever.
What people say is, this is voluntary and elective. This is an elective surgery, not like it's a life or death type of situation where
she was hospitalized because she was dying.
This is something like that she could easily reschedule around, not way in advance, but she could wait for him to come back from South Africa.
Right.
But she chose to schedule it around the
y'all, you can get a boob job anytime. You know, we have nothing against boob jobs, whatever, but you can get it anytime. Yeah. She could have got it when he came back.
And that's why I thought that it was also irresponsible of her to then complain about, oh yeah, you know, I can't lift Myla up, you know, otherwise the stitch would come out and everything. And I'm like, well, you should have thought through that during the consultation or something, because like this is a chicken and egg thing, right? Like, which one comes first? To me, the vacation was planned first.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it may sound selfish or self-serving, but that came first. And then she scheduled the surgery afterwards after they've planned the trip. And I'm guessing they must have booked a flight, you know, put some sort of deposit on the safari tour, that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So I don't know why people don't see that she's being the selfish one for dropping this on Jovi. And again, like you said, someone mentioned that, well, this is cosmetic. It's not like, you know, some sort of like surgery that your doctor wants you to go to save your life or to get better health-wise. This is more of like enhancement.
Yeah, and I have Yara's back on, I would say, 80 to 90% of the things, the troubles and struggles that they've experienced, her, you know, raising Myla mostly on her own, her having to move to America without any friends and family, even at times when like she doesn't want to go out and Jovi still wants to stay out. Like, I've been team Yara, but on this one, I'm going to say, you know, it was fair for Jovi to say, look, I can't just back out 2 weeks before the trip. Like, if I were Jovi, I could have said, well, can't you reschedule this? And Angela tried to chime in. Well, I think the dates are blah, 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 and you can't really do it like that and stuff. Well, okay, you can't do it like right away, but you can push it out a month, 2 months, 3 months, whatever. Like, we're going to be married. I'm going to be with you for the rest of my life, right? Hopefully. Yeah. You can get it whenever. You can, you can get that. And I support it 100%. But the cast members turned it into something. They made it a bigger deal than it really was. And they made Jovi look like a piece of shit for it. And I'm just like, what's that about? Like, they decided this together. Even Yara almost started to really like fight for him and say, look, we worked through it and it's okay. And we're fine. And it's fine. It's not that big of a deal. Right.
Yeah. The other point of contention, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the fact that the mom said that she's planning to move closer to them. But then now they're planning to move away from the state. So I thought that was also a shitty thing. But again, this comes back to what you said earlier, Lon, which is, I guess Jovi wants to please Yara by moving away from Louisiana because clearly she's miserable there. But then like people are asking, so are you still moving to Europe? Are you still buying a property in Europe? Like, what's the outcome of that? Like, oh, where did you leave that? Where's that at? Are we still going ahead with it? So, like, I'm somewhat confused on that part.
Yeah, I don't know. I think I would let Yara have that. It's easier said than done. I don't know how Jovi feels, but, you know, again, Jovi wants his name attached to everything. And I think it's the way it's being framed. Yara wants to have something for herself, but then framing it around this context that we're not going to work out and I need a safety net. You know, somebody said it. Was it Liz? Somebody said something like, well, it seems like almost like you're planning an escape route. And I was like, and that's the problem.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that it didn't seem like it was just like something for you to kind of protect yourself in the event that it were to go wrong. It seems like you're already being proactive and that things are going the wrong way. And you're making Jovi feel like he has to fight now to save the marriage rather than, oh, well, if things don't work out, then at least you have something. You're putting him in this position to feel like his marriage is failing and that he has to save it or something.
Yeah. Fight or flight in a way.
Yeah, but that does suck that the mom is moving closer to them and they're leaving anyway.
Yeah, I think that's the part where Jovi does look like a douchebag that needs to grow up, because it comes across as he wants the mom to always be available to help them out with the kid. And sometimes people don't know how lucky they are that they have a parent who's willing to take the load off while they go out and, you know, have date nights. And some of us are not that lucky. We live far away from our family and, you know, we may not get that type of help, right?
Right.
So I think that's the part where I was like, man, Jovi needs to be nicer to his mom. And and his mom calling him out on like, you need to grow up, Jovi. I was like, yep, 100%. Like, that's...
He definitely does need to grow up. Yeah. But I also think Yara can be less, could kind of demanding. Ease up on some of the demands, right?
Yeah.
I think the reason Jovi is in a weird position with Myla is because I think Yara doesn't want to hire like babysitters. Yara is so like, we can't trust anybody with Myla. All right. Well, now you're having to put Jovi in this position where, okay, fine, the only person to depend on is my mom. Because, you know, I keep thinking, why can't they just hire like a sitter? If they need help, why can't they just hire a sitter? And then I remember that, like, I believe, like, and maybe it's Yara and Jovi, they don't trust anybody else. Like, they want it to be someone they 100% completely trust. And I get it. As parents out there, there's probably some of y'all that are like, yeah, I would never trust my child with a stranger or with somebody.
Yeah.
So I kind of get that. But when closest relatives 2 hours away, something's got to give. Yeah, something's got to give, right?
Yeah. And I think, too, the other unfair part about this is the comparison that Yara makes, right? It's that if we live in Europe, my mom will automatically take care of the baby. Like, she will go out of her way to take care of Myla. Whereas Jovi's mom, you can see that she's struggling because they are that far apart, but she's making an effort. And what I admire about her is she's also taking a stance of like, look, I may be Myla's grandmom, but I'm not y'all's babysitter or nanny. Like, you cannot take me for granted like that.
Right.
Like, she said something about, she's 57 or 67. Like, I'm not planning to be like, going 2-3 hours one way just to like look after your kid. You guys gotta do something about that, you know. Happy to spend time with her, but I'm not y'all's kid's caretaker or something. So I think she has a valid point there, but in Yara's head, it just seems like, oh, if I were to be in Europe, this is no issue. My mom will take care of Myla, like, no questions asked. Like, this is not going to be a problem. Like, she will come to me.
Right.
No matter what. So I think that's that unfair biases that I think that Yara projects out. And maybe Jovi's also kind of like sucked into it. And now he sees his mom as like, oh, you're this unwilling grandparent who doesn't want to cooperate, who doesn't want to like help out. But like, yo, you guys chose to be parents. You have to raise your kid I mean, whether it's by yourself or with or without help, that's your
And wasn't it
responsibility.
too Yara's decision, the neighborhood they lived in?
Yeah.
She wanted to be out in like the fucking cut somewhere, right?
Yeah,
Like,
yeah. And I think that
she
puts
chose
her
that
further
neighborhood.
away. Yeah, puts them further away from Miss Gwen's.
Like, Jovi wanted to be close, like live in the city because it was accessible for his mom.
Yeah.
But she was like, no, we got to live out in the suburbs somewhere.
Yeah, because I think this is the part where she's like, the further away we are from the city, the
You're
lesser you'll
right.
go to a strip club. And again, that's like, it goes back to them. It's like the problem is, that you need to solve is you guys, you know? So I guess then comes the question, do we want to see them again? Are we interested to see if they're going to have a second child? Is Yara going to move to Europe? Like, what are we thinking here?
I still like Jovi and Yara. This tell-all for me was kind of weird because I didn't like how Yara was coming across and how felt like Jovi was being bullied. But in terms of watching them as a couple, I'm still interested to watch like Jovi and Yara.
Fair.
I still am. Yeah. This season wasn't very exciting, I don't think. Like the whole let's go do humanitarian work because of Ukraine and stuff like that was just such a weird context for their relationship, and
Yeah.
it didn't I don't think they did anything
It's so
really.
disingenuous. Like,
Yeah.
what is the work that they did? Like, what is the assistance that she provided that she was so fighting hard for?
Yeah.
You know, if you miss your family and friends back home, just say that.
Yeah.
You don't have to put up a front and say, Ukraine needs my help. You know, my fellow Ukrainians need my help. And then ends up like nothing really
Nothing
happened.
happened.
You guys ended up going to Germany, if
Yeah.
anything, and it became a
Yeah.
European holiday. It's like,
Yeah. I'm down to see
what's
what
up with
happens
that?
if they go to Florida, definitely, and see if things continue to get interesting for them. I still like Jovi and Yara as a young couple. I think they're relatable. I relate more to them
Sure.
than any of the other couples this season. So I'm down to see them again, but I like seeing fresh faces too, though.
Yeah. I think I feel indifferent. I don't know if I care enough to want to have them back, but then I don't really mind if they come back. What I don't mind is if we see less of Usman and Kimberly, since they're technically over.
That's done.
Yeah, done, right? Hopefully.
I hope so. Here's the thing about Kim and Angela. I don't think they're over like Usman and Michael. I think they know it's done or it should be done, but I think they're having a hard time letting go.
I think for Angela, it's about control.
Mm.
Like, she feels empowered being with someone like Michael, whom she can like boss around. And she likes drama in her life, it just seems like.
Yeah.
I don't know about Kim. Kim seems like she's just out there to have fun and just test the water. And she just happens to be with Nigerian Michael Jackson and she likes the idea. It's almost
Didn't
like
she
an.
say she said something like she'd fly out there for the yammy or whatever?
Yeah, like, you know, we can be friends with benefit. It's like,
yeah.
Girl, have some self-respect, yo. Yeah, and I'm glad. I think, didn't Sean Robinson take a quick poll amongst the cast member and say, hey, how many of y'all think that Usman is a scammer?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of them felt that way, or maybe half. I don't know. I forgot, but like, it's about time someone kind of call him out on his whole 90 Day Fiancé appearance here. It's just
Right.
for promos and,
Right,
you
right.
know, for
So it's
clout.
not necessarily scamming in the way people think Nigerian scammers like
Yeah.
do scams, right? Like,
Yeah.
it's not that kind of a scam. It's more that he is like stretching these 15 minutes. He is trying to stay on the franchise. He is trying to promote his music and he needs a way to do that. And
He's
this
trying to stay
relationship.
relevant for sure.
Yes. And that's the scam, is hooking up with, you know, someone like Kim to keep him on the show, to keep the music thing going. And he knows full well that this isn't going to lead anywhere. So it just sucks that people have to fall in love, and he's playing with people's like emotions and people's hearts when he does that. So that's the big scam there. And
Then I would say it's TLC that enables it, because I'm guessing before they start filming, they sit you down and they're like, hey, what do we want to do with your storyline? Because we're going to have to film you in a certain way, in a certain light, saying certain things. And I'm going to play your music.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to
shoot. Did Kim say she didn't know that he got her number? Like, she knew that they met and that they talked about, you know, marriage and stuff. But.
Oh, she didn't know that the scene where he asked
for her number.
For the
yeah,
number.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I was like, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't blame her. I guess that's a very easy detail that he probably didn't reveal to her, right? Or, you know, he concealed that and she didn't know until she watched the show or she watched that clip.
She was working under the assumption, I think, that like this was all for show and that it was just going to be a meeting. Mm. But then seeing him say, well, let me get your number, though, and we can kind of keep in touch and stuff, made it, oh, well, like you're seriously entertaining this. This wasn't just kind of some like meet and greet or whatever, you know what I mean, to just talk. It was, you're really actually going to entertain it and get serious about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised that it was Usman and Angela that got into it from the beginning, instead of, because remember when we first started talking about this season of Happily Ever After, and I think I casually mentioned, oh my God, I can't wait for the tell-all, because imagine Angela and Kim being in the same room and how they're both like strong personalities and they're just going to go off and catfight each other in a way. And then it turns out they became like good friends at the end of it all. And I was like, wow, I didn't see that coming. But then just to remind the viewers, it was Angela who started the whole, like, she did the walk-off because she called Usman a bitch and Usman clapped back and said, oh, crazy ass hoe or something like that. and then she was like, whoa, someone actually fought back, and she just couldn't take it and she just walked off. Right. And so did Michael. And I was just surprised that towards the end of it, like, Kim was being very understanding and patient with her. Kim, she was being very firm in the sense that she did say, well, what Angela said is not acceptable. Mm-hmm. But then she didn't really make a big deal out of it. So it's almost like we saw a very, how do you say, like she toned down on the drama.
Angela did? Or Kim did?
Kimberly, yeah.
But I think because they're all walking on eggshells, though, when it comes to Angela.
I got that sense, too. I feel like they don't want to offend her because they don't want to deal with her.
Exactly. It's not so much they're scared. They just don't want the drama that comes with Angela flying off the handle.
Yes. 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 Anything else you want to say about Usman and Kimberly?
Well, you know, she said that it was her decision to leave. Mm-hmm. And again, if we don't ever see them again, that's great.
Yeah.
I just didn't feel that at the end of it, Kim was fully over Usman. That's all.
Mm. Okay. Shall we just briefly talk about Angela since we already start mentioning her? I mean, I guess since this is a tell-all, we might as well cover everyone. Do you think that drama was fake? The whole Michael calling this American person and...
Yeah, I don't think it was fake. I don't think it was... Okay, wait. It's a big deal. Cheating is bad, y'all. Cheating is bad. I tweeted this one out. Yeah. Cheating is bad.
Yeah.
I don't like how the cast made it into this super, like, big deal and, like, we're so disappointed in you. I get that. It's disappointing that someone you're rooting for is cheating. But they fell into this kind of Angela's a bigger victim. And I don't think that's right. I get that Angela got cheated on and I feel bad for that. Yeah. I feel bad for anyone that gets cheated on. But the abuse that he endured throughout the seasons that he's been on the show with Angela, they don't just get wiped away because he cheated.
Yeah.
You know?
And how about the fact that they downplayed the fact that she also kind of cyber cheated by talking to that dude from Canada?
She flirts with people all the time, y'all.
Right. I mean, she even told Andre that maybe she'll get with Chuck.
Yeah.
Well, come on.
Like, these are
Michael
things she
doesn't
does on a
deserve
daily. Yeah. And yeah, that recording was pretty bad, right? Like, here's what made it bad for me. He said something about sending her money or something.
Yeah,
Ew, that was
that
like,
was a gut punch.
what's
Like,
that? Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, I get it, right? But then, like, this whole victimization of Angela was just, no, like, I still think Michael is still very much a victim to Angela's abuse, and we don't just give her a pass all of a sudden because she's crying that she got cheated on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even physical, really, right? That doesn't excuse it,
yeah,
right? But the entire cast had just turned on Michael and was like, oh, we're sorry, Angela, poor Angela, this Angela, and Angela's crying like, do I deserve this, babe? And I'm just like, I was just so over it. Like,
yeah,
it's not a big deal.
Is it bad that I don't feel bad? Again, I don't condone
it's hard
cheating.
To feel bad.
It's hard
for
to feel
her.
Bad for Angela. That's the thing, especially since she's still abusing Michael. And again, I think maybe the remedy here is they shouldn't be with each other because it's just going to be super toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And are they officially done? Because if they're not,
she's
all
not
that
letting
shit,
go.
Remember the bartender? And she was like, yeah.
Kind of like holler at him.
Yeah. Do you have a friend or whatever?
Yeah.
It was just, come on, man.
Dude, I don't think she's ready to let go of Michael. Again, this is all about control. And she feels that she's too invested. But I don't know why she can't see that they're going around in circles here.
Yeah.
And her friends sort of enable it too in a way because, well, that one friend that came on the show in person, I mean, I thought she was probably the most practical of them all. Like, she really assessed their marriage really well in a way. And I think short of saying that they shouldn't be together, it may be because she's afraid of offending Angela, but I don't know what else to say. Like,
is there anyone online talking about like how sus the fan cheating with Michael thing is? Or did you get any?
I have to read up some more about the whole, like,
yeah. So
I
for
just
me,
thought it was fake because it's just a voicemail.
And here's the thing for me, y'all. This is why for me it was sus. So it must have been a trap because who gets into an online relationship just to intentionally throw the person under the bus later? Because if what I remember correctly is whoever that was sent the receipts to Angela or to some, I think it was like that. That's how she found out.
Yeah.
Right?
No. She, the person maybe forwarded the voicemail to a friend who then forwarded it to Angela, like to Angela's friend, and who then forwarded it to her. So it almost
something
felt
like
it was
that.
A trap.
Yeah, like it was a trap. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that's why it was sus. Like, come on, man, that's sus. Like,
yeah.
If I were really trying to cheat with a cast member, I'd keep it under wraps. Send me the fucking money, Michael. Like, let's get into this relationship. Fuck Angela, whatever.
Yeah.
But because it was like, so like, we're going to throw him under the bus. It was just like, that was super sus to me. And I was, I don't know. It, again, it felt like a trap and didn't seem real.
To me, this seems like a scheme where Angela is still trying to stay relevant in the 90 Day Fiancé universe. You know, she still wants to be filmed.
Yeah.
And I'm not with that. Yeah.
I'm over it.
I'm over it, guys. Sorry. Not sorry. All right. I thought we can also talk about Andre and Libby. Mr. I have to turn on closed caption because everything he says is a bleep. Yeah, I don't know where to start here. I'm sorry. I feel like Andre and Libby's drama is, like you said, right? It's tied to the extended family, obviously.
Exactly.
And his green card. And
yeah.
Now
Not
his
much to
lawyer
say.
is, yeah, now his lawyer even came on the show to like defend him and to like, you know, give her professional insight on things. And I don't know, I can't get behind Andre, honestly. I mean, in his mind, he can do no wrong. But
yeah.
I caught the scene where he and, was it Becky? Sort of like reconciling
Yeah,
kind of
backstage or whatever.
Yeah.
He's trying to be cool with him.
He's trying to be
and
cool with
say,
her.
I don't want to get in between your family. I don't want to break up your family like that and stuff like that. To me, that was kind of cool. But just like you said, like a lot of the, what was interesting about Andre and Libby is not Andre and Libby. It's the interactions with the family. And again, they had to bring Charlie on. They had to bring the sisters on, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Because without them, what do we get? We get Libby singing, what was it? Like Mary had a little lamb.
I don't like when y'all put me on the spot.
This is
what well, here, it's here we go. To.
Right.
Mary had a little lamb. Okay. Dude, her vocals were great though. I mean, yeah.
She can sing. Nice singing voice.
Okay.
She can sing.
It's just like,
yo, but what about that Christmas photo, though, where she's on her hands and knees, though? What about that? Did y'all see that?
I didn't. What is that?
Remember, I think I tagged you on Instagram.
No, shit, I gotta check my...
She's, like, in, like, a Santa lingerie or something, and she's, like, showing her butt. Come on, I didn't tag you in that?
No, you did not. So is that the wrong Nadia? Oh, my God.
I'm not judging, y'all. I'm not judging. I'm just, like, is this what it comes to? Is this the whole 90-day to OnlyFans pipeline?
Yeah.
But again, like, no judgment. It was just a weird-looking photo. And I know there's some of y'all that know what I'm talking about. During the holidays, when Libby, like, snapped a photo where she's in, like, red. I think it's red, if my memory serves me correctly. She's, like, in red lingerie, and she's on, like, her hands and knees being really sexy and showing her butt. Again, no judgment, y'all. Like, sex work is work to me. It's cool. I'm cool with it. I'm just like, it's just becoming a pattern with 90 Day Fiance now. And I'm just like, you know?
I mean, the name of the game here is staying relevant. So
yeah,
I'd be surprised.
You got to really milk those 15 minutes. I thought it was awkward when you brought up the lawyer, when the lawyer had to like come and defend. And the lawyer was like kind of scolding the family and was like, it's a federal offense for anyone to be blah, 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 blah. And you could tell the family was like, what are you fucking telling us for? Like,
yeah.
Like, we have nothing to do with this. I don't know why you're saying this. And the lawyer's like, yeah, you better not. Federal offense.
You know, she won't be doing her job if she didn't remind people that it is a felony to report on others.
Yeah.
You know, all this falsified information.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Again, do I want to see them? I don't want to see them on like a show with other couples because I think I'm over it.
Maybe
if they have their own show, I'll be okay with that, but I won't watch it.
But I don't want to see Andre just berate Libby for fucking 30 minutes. Like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that either. Yeah.
It's toxic. Like, nobody wants to see that, dude. And it's so weird, right? Because Andre... it's sort of ride or die for his wife, but at the same time, it's almost like he's the only one who gets to abuse her.
Yeah.
Like,
and he was a bully this tell all too. I felt like he was on here and he seemed like he was scoring points with the other cast members and stuff, but he was really going at Jovi for every little thing he was going at Jovi for.
Yeah, and I'm surprised he didn't go hard on Big Ed. Didn't Big Ed call him an idiot or something? Or maybe Big Ed called Jovi an idiot, but Big Ed said something about Andre, and I was surprised he didn't get all riled up, because if that was Charlie, he would have stood up and tried to go for it. But yeah, I'm actually surprised there wasn't any physical altercation between Andre and Charlie. I thought there would be, but I guess everyone...
get out of their seats.
Yeah, that everyone stayed put on the couch, and maybe that's for the best. Yeah, I'm just surprised, I guess. But are we surprised about Big Ed and Liz?
She can do better. To me, surprise isn't the right word. We all know how shitty Big Ed can be. But because like I fast-forwarded through most of their scenes and stuff, a lot of the stuff was just context I was getting from the tell-all. So I just think they're not for each other. I think they're better off not with each other. However, the cast members were thinking it was a weird thing that they were living separately.
Yeah.
Y'all, I just want to say that relationships are complicated and some situations work out better for couples. And before I moved in with my current girlfriend now, we were living separate and it was good and it's fine. So I understand that. I understand how that, for Big Ed at least, how it works out for him, where they have their own space, and then when they do link up, it is better and it's healthier. Like, you know, and they're like, well, that's just weird. I'm like, well, no, because they're away from the toxicity of being together,
yeah,
you know, all the time and stuff. So I was like, I don't think it's as weird as the cast members were making it out to be when he was explaining their separate living arrangements.
It's the way that it was framed, because they were both living together at first, and then she got kicked out. That's why they really hunker down on that point of like, oh, it's so weird that you're living separately from your fiance and you see each other, what was it, like every other night?
Every other, like, yeah, it's every other, right, right. Yeah. And then when they do see each other, separate bedrooms. So that was kind of weird.
Bedroom, I was like, huh. Even at this tell-all, Jovi called out the fact that Liz and Ed were not staying in the same bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know, I feel a lot of compassion towards Liz, because when I hear her talk and when I see the way she seems like she's empowered, especially since she's surrounded by other women who support her. But then I can also see her going back to Ed. And the reason why I say I'm compassionate is because sometimes when you're abused like that, it takes a while to pry yourself away, you know, because you just don't see yourself in that very toxic environment until you reach a certain point, and then something in your head clicks, and then you're like, okay, yeah, enough is enough. Like right now, I don't know if she's hit that ceiling yet. Like, I feel like she's trying to make sense of this relationship. And what I hate about it is that she's trying to change him for the better, but Ed thinks that she's playing the victim because he sees himself as a victim. Yeah. Which is, it's, I mean, like, let's face it, Ed is the king of deflection. He's a massive gaslighter. He got caught trying to holler at Rose.
Yeah.
And he has the cheek to say, like, oh, me no speak English. Like, bitch, please. Like, you got caught cheating, bro. Like, someone outed you and you still want to deny it and then play the victim. That is the most ridiculous thing, that, like, you got caught. Admit to it, you know?
And how frustrating was it when he was dismissing everything that she did as performance?
Yes!
You're the fucking king of performance, bro.
Yeah.
Like, everything you do is a performance. Taking the ring away from her on national TV with the cameras rolling is performance.
Yeah.
You're all fucking performance. Like, and you had the nerve to invalidate and dismiss Liz's feelings and Liz's experience by saying this is all fucking performance art or whatever for you. Like, no, even him getting the final word when he didn't like that she was too busy for him at the time he was trying to say bye, that was performance. I'm gonna text her and the producer and say, hey, I don't want you coming with me. You need to set up a separate flight. He knew what to do to get under her skin and to hurt her that way. Like, I don't want you coming with me. Set up your own separate shit. And like sending that text message right when you sent it on camera and like dictating, narrating it for us and stuff. I was like, dude, fuck you, man. Like,
And
I just feel so bad for Liz whenever Liz like speaks and she's like half speaking, half crying, and just, I empathize with that. And there's times too when she's not the healthiest and, you know, she's not saying the best things, but at the same time, like, I can understand what pushes someone to that point. And I just feel so bad for her. I hope the very best for her. I really do. I hope she gets that. She's able to get out of this.
Yeah.
I hope that this whole tug of war that she's kind of getting sucked into with Ed, like, she's able to escape it. It's just not a good look for her.
Look, we can all sit here behind our mics or behind a keyboard and say, you know, Liz could do better. Or, you know, even Stevie Wonder could see how toxic their relationship is, right? But then Liz has to really help herself out of it too. The other thing that I wish Liz could do better in is to, you know, have a bit more self-respect. Because no self-respecting woman would want to be with someone like Ed, honestly. And sometimes too, like, this is a very unpopular opinion, I'm probably going to get roasted as well, but whenever she tries to make sense of this toxicity, it just tells me that she has like high school level EQ when it comes to relationship. Like, she's clinging on to Ed for we don't know why. Maybe it's the clout. Maybe she wants the clout too. And she kept saying like, oh, he's so good to my daughter. You know what? So will a million other people, a million other guys in this world. Any decent person would be nice, would be good to your kids. It just doesn't have to be bigot.
Right. There's issues there. There's some underlying issues that she has to work out. And that's the thing is, it's very different when you're in the relationship.
Yes.
And as Nadia said, it's easy for us behind the mics to point out and say, this could be done, this could be done. You know, she's living in that experience. And when you're living in that experience, it's very different to kind of see outside of these perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
But to Nadia's point, time could be better spent for Liz to be doing the work on her own.
Yeah.
And away from Ed and just working on Liz and working on those issues, working on, okay, what makes me come back to this relationship? What makes me think I can't do better than Ed?
Yep.
What makes me want to continue to stay with Ed, knowing full well that he's not good for me and he's toxic?
Yep.
Like, Liz can be working on those issues and kind of getting into that self-improvement on her own, away from that. And then that'll lead her to better relationships.
She has to be honest with herself too. Like, she has to really, really look deep inside and be honest with herself and be like, well, why am I still with this guy? Is there something to it? Like, is it because of the show? I mean, because the longer she stays in that relationship, the more she looks stupid. Like, of course, right now we pity her, we empathize with her. You know, I've been in toxic relationships, so I can tell when someone acts like that. Like, I can totally relate because, you know, I was also surrounded by my girlfriends saying, Nadia, you can do better. You need to move on. You know, you don't have to put up with this shit. And then I'll be like, yeah, you guys are right, blah, blah, blah. And then I still go back.
And you go
to
back.
Yeah. So I can kind of see that in her right now. And I think that the conversation she needs to have is with herself and figure out, is this who she wants to be with? Because the longer she stays with him, the more it looks stupid on her, or foolish, I would say. Stupid is a harsh word, but it's like it looks more foolish on her part, you know? It's like now it's shame on her, not shame on him.
Yeah, what's the saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice,
shame on
me.
Yeah, so I don't really want to see them again. It's very toxic, just very uncomfortable. And that's why we don't cover them during our regular coverage of this 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. But yeah, I mean, this tell-all pretty much tells you all the reasons why we don't. It's because this is just something so toxic that it makes us uncomfortable to talk about.
I would like to see Liz. I would like to continue watching Liz.
On Single Life?
Single Life or some other show away from Ed. I think she's a really good person. I think she's super interesting. I think Ed dulls her shine. I think we're seeing her as Ed's new partner rather than seeing Liz as Liz. But if we could get Liz to do her own thing or in a healthier relationship or even in a pillow talk with maybe one of her friends, where someone who's positive, someone who brings out the best in her, someone she can be her true self around, not just Ed's partner or whatever, this toxic element that Ed brings out of her. I think we could really fall in love with Liz. Like, I really like Liz from what I've seen. And it's just a shame that Liz is tied up with the negativity and the shit show that's Big Ed.
Yeah. Liz need to connect with Rose and get that glow up.
Get that glow up.
All right, Joe, I think we've spoken enough about the tell-all. I mean, it's a four-part special and there's a lot to cover. And because we are 90 Day Fiancé WTF podcast, we will end the show with our WTF moment. So, Lon, over to you.
I want to say my WTF moment was Angela hitting on the bartender guy in this final episode. I forgot how the scene exactly went, but she's just really like full of herself, hitting on the guy, asking if he's got, I don't know if she asked if he had any friends in town and that she was ready to party and stuff. Ugh, I was like, no.
Nope.
Yeah. And on that note too, it was fucked up how Big Ed treated the bartender, right? Like he
What?
called him stupid or something.
What? How
Yeah,
did I not catch that?
he's like, what's your name? And the bartender's like, Valentino or something like that. And he goes, oh, are you Italian? And he's like, no, I'm Mexican or I'm Spanish or something. I forget exactly what. And Big Ed is like, me too. He goes, oh, you are? And then he says something like, yeah, are you stupid? And then the cast members jump on him and like, why are you talking to the bartender like that, Ed? Like, that's not cool. And he tried to say it jokingly, like, yeah, are you fucking dumb? Do I look fucking Italian to you? Like, and it was just so, it just reeked of like self-righteousness and like
Ew.
entitlement. And
Cringe.
like, yeah. And I think Jovi said something about it. Maybe even Andre, I forgot, but they were like, big, like, Ed, what are you the fuck? You don't treat people like that,
Yeah.
you know? Yeah.
I think my WTF moment is, well, one is when Angela came on to the show before they even recorded it officially and started to cuss out Usman. And I'm glad that Usman cussed her back. And I guess that's when you find out that Angela couldn't take what she dishes out.
I thought she was going to be gone for the rest of tell all, but she came back.
Yeah, and she actually apologized. I'm not sure if you remember, she actually apologized.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think too, like, she was clearly projecting.
Yeah.
She called Usman a scammer. What makes she think that Michael isn't one also? You know?
Yeah.
Anyway, the other WTF moment for me is when Big Ed asked for the engagement ring back after
Oh.
he got caught.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Only Big Ed can turn the tables like that in the most disgusting, despicable.
That whole thing, yeah, we didn't even get into that entire thing, but his account was active on the dating website
Yeah,
and
and then he tried to deflect by saying, ew, it's so weird that your mom and you are on a, created an account. Why? Because you're on it and we need
you're
to see
fucking on.
proof, you asshole.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, why do you do this spy work? Blah, blah, blah. It's like, anyway.
Fucking
Yeah, fucking big it.
Ed.
All right, y'all. I think we've spoken enough. This is our return to podcasting in 2023. I hope y'all have been having a great start to your year. Me and Lon, we miss recording and talking with y'all. So feel free to engage with us. Any last words, Lon? Anything you want to quickly recommend anyone, any shows?
We are watching The Last of Us on
Yes.
HBO. It's so
Yes.
good. If you're not watching it, it's based on the PlayStation 5 game or PlayStation game, period. It started on PlayStation 3, I believe. But if you're not a fan of video games, don't let that deter you. It's a really good story, and it's 2 episodes in right now, and it's really, really good. I highly recommend it.
Yep, and I think we also highly recommend The White Lotus.
White Lotus. That's good.
Yeah, I guess Jennifer Coolidge really gave the performance of a life on it. And I've always been a fan of Mike White. His dramedy is always tastefully done. And you know what? HBO has really good content, I would
Yeah,
say.
HBO is killing it. So I'm late to White Lotus. I watched it because I heard Aubrey Plaza was in season two. So I was like, oh, but I can't watch season two without watching season one. And that's what got me onto White Lotus.
I was slow to catch up on White Lotus season two, but when I watched the Golden Globes and unfortunately, well, fortunately, Jennifer Coolidge won an award and she spoiled the ending. I
Oh,
had to watch it.
no.
I was like, well, I guess I can't chill anymore. I have to binge it now.
Yeah.
Because I plan to like put it on the back burner and like, focus on other shows. But anyway. Just want to say again, Happy New Year, Happy
Happy
Lunar New
New Year.
Year to our listeners who celebrate that. What else, Lon? Anything?
Well, happy Valentine's Day. I guess
Yeah,
that's
no, by
not
the
until
time this
another.
uploads. All right, y'all. Till next time, be kind to one another and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90 Day Fiancé WTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.